Earth and Sky.
We're not actually looking for that silver bullet. We're looking for a silver buckshot.
You're listening to Daniel Kamen, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Kamen is director of the Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory at the University of California, Berkeley, and he's an energy and policy advisor to the Obama administration. His lab looks at different renewable energy technologies, wind and solar, for example, to determine their viability and environmental impact. Kamen talked to Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about another renewable energy source, algae, and how it might fit into the future of energy in the U.S.
People these days are talking a lot about our clean energy future. So what's the current energy situation now, and how far are we from the clean energy future?
Sadly, we're quite far from the clean energy future, and most of the forecasts right now that are business as usual or that imply a little bit of an increased rate of innovation in terms of deploying solar or wind or cleaner biofuels perhaps or transitions to electric vehicles are ones that wouldn't get us to where we need to go in terms of the climate story, which basically says that we need about an 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions over the next 40 years. And that's the assessment of the IPCC. So that 40-year, 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, that's sort of the scientists' best assessment for nature's timetable. Most of the scenarios that we see being considered right now just simply don't get us to that level of reduction. They do things more like what we hear discussed at the U.S. with reductions by 2020 of 3 to 5 to maybe 15%, and then hoped for pathways that would get us towards this 80%, but none of them really do. So the question is, what are the game-changing things that are out there? One of the wild cards on the table is algae. And the benefit of thinking about algae is that the yields per volume can be quite high. And many algae that are grown in sort of stable environments, you keep it uniformly warm, you feed it carbon dioxide, can produce in a year-round cycle and hence get some quite high yields. So algae has this interesting setup, and the fact that we haven't explored it very much yet is ironically both its benefit and its curse. On the upside, it means, well, we don't know that much and it looks attractive, so we should explore it. On the downside, it is starting way behind. And since we need these solutions to come fairly quickly, the question is, even if algae performs sort of at its theoretical maximum in terms of innovation, rolling out new technologies, getting these things into production, it may not be a big enough deal soon enough. Whereas we pretty much know that if we scale up production of solar or wind, we can forecast where we'll get to and at what cost. Algae is a much bigger unknown at this stage.
Can you just explain briefly, how does it work that you can get fuel out of algae?
So it's sort of interesting that we find this sort of a hard question, because the fuel that we use in our cars today was produced by organisms like algae. Whether it's plants or actually algae, the oil and the coal that we dig up is the decayed and then stored by the earth and heated by the earth materials that came from biological organisms, in some cases 60, 70, 100, 200 million years ago. So the algae process is simply that process speeded up in real time. And a variety of algae is actually the common pond scum to various plants. They produce different oils in their, typically in their cell walls. So there may be some breakthroughs out there, because perhaps we can actually do this artificially where we speed up the process where they produce even more of the stuff. But right now, what we're really talking about is harvesting those materials that look very similar to the kinds of biodiesels that we produce right now. There are some discussions of effectively ocean-based tanks, for example, they could get very, very high yields, a couple hundred or even 1,000 times higher than we see for land-based things. But then you have a problem of algae in the ocean, and it's hard to contain them. And so people generally think about tanks on the land, and thinking about genetically modified strains may get one into trouble in terms of releasing those genetically modified strains. And there's other groups who say, well, genetically modified is hard, and it may not even win out over natural strains that have had the advantage of natural evolution for many years. So we should think about cocktails of those. The interesting part is that that sounds kind of like a natural way to go. The troublesome part is that many of those natural cocktails don't grow that fast.
What are some of the biggest challenges when you think about making algae and the algae pathway kind of competitive with the other kinds of options that are out there right now?
So algae is really a case of, yes, we'll need some new innovation in terms of developing higher yield strains. That might be some lab work and perhaps some genetically modified processes. But the real issue is, can you scale up production? And in many cases, producing the biofuel, the biodiesel out of this process, is actually something that is self-limited. Meaning after a certain concentration, the algae poisons itself. So it doesn't produce more than that. So the question is, how can you then increase production and remove that material so the cells can keep producing, or remove cells that have grown a while so that the culture medium remains essentially non-toxic to the organisms? This is really an industrial scale-up. It's the chemical engineering, if you will, of algae, not a first principles idea where we don't know if it can happen. We can do it in the laboratory, in the petri dish, no problem right now. The question is, can you do it at scale? And no one really knows.
How would an algae fuel work? Would it be something we could put in our cars? And would it be something that you would have to change the whole energy infrastructure of the country for?
It probably wouldn't require one to do much of a change, because the idea of using algae is that you can tailor its output. And so if we have vehicles today that run on diesel, they can run on biodiesel. And the idea is that you would then have algae that produce that same or very similar product. But the real issue is that in the long run, it may not make much sense to actually combust a material in the tank, because combustion is inherently inefficient. In fact, in a vehicle today, something like 6 or 7% of the energy in the gasoline in your tank actually goes to move the driver. If you were to switch that, for example, and not produce gasoline but to produce hydrogen and not burn it but consume it in a fuel cell, which is far more efficient than a internal combustion engine.
So can you just briefly explain what's your involvement with the algae question?
So my laboratory at Berkeley manages and develops a lot of the analytic tools to figure out what's the energy content in biofuels, what's the total associated water demand, what is the impact in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, not in terms of just burning the fuel, but in producing it. So the whole life cycle study.
So how has that looked in terms of algae? Have you had any results that would kind of place it in a lineup with other energy options?
So we've looked at algae in a number of settings in terms of both growing it as a primary product and also making biofuels from algae that are doing other things as well, that are producing other useful compounds. And there's certainly a role. There's a role right now for any low-carbon fuel out there. In terms of the big scale-up, kind of really cutting into U.S. petroleum use, it's hard to see right now without some big innovations algae becoming a really large player. It might be a nice way to mop up CO2 from power plants. It might be a way to use waste at waste storage facilities, at urban dumps, etc. But it's hard right now, again, without some big innovation in terms of dramatically reduced land use or dramatically reduced water use, where algae could become a major player. But as we look ahead, I think that Al Gore's sort of quite famous comment is probably the most relevant one here, and that is, we're not actually looking for that silver bullet. We're looking for a silver buckshot, and this may be one of those many technologies that gets us there.
You've been listening to Daniel Kamen, Director of the Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory at the University of California, Berkeley. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit our website at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.